You know, so I would ask you to go ahead and open your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 25 this morning. We're going to look at this these verses for 3 weeks. Our topic for the next 3 weeks, Brian brought it up to you, would be on welcoming God's Word. It's inviting it in. It's like you welcome someone into your home. It's inviting it in that way. You know, when you have someone come over to your house and you invite them into your home and you say, go ahead, man, just treat it like it's your home. Go ahead and jump in the refrigerator, you know, kick back on the big chair, that kind of thing. Eat what you want, you know, just treat it like it's your home. That's the idea of what we're talking about in welcoming God's Word, like you guys just did with each other. I use that for an illustration, plus it's good for us to just welcome each other. You guys greeted each other in relationship and invited each other in a sense, into each other's life. How you been? Seeking those kind of things. You only do it momentarily because you only have a few minutes to say hi, but that's what we're going to be talking about. You know, and from time to time, it's good for us as a body of Christ to be reminded, to be encouraged, to be exhorted, and you know what, even admonished. It's good for us to be, to make sure that we're applying God's Word to our living. We're learning it, we're growing it, we're in Sunday school, we're in Wednesday night, we're all of the kind of things, but we need to be encouraged, admonished even, reminded that we're applying God's Word. That's what we're welcoming the truth is really what we're going to talk about for 3 weeks. What we're going to do, listen to this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to look at James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. What we're going to do is look at God's exhortation from God's Word on applying God's Word to our living. And then we're going to take what we are exhorted in today, and then we're going to go back to to 1 Corinthians, the book we've been studying for a long time. We've studied chapters 1 through 10. We're going to look at 1 through 4 today. Then we're going to go back and look at chapters 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians and then ask the question, am I welcoming what God's been teaching us? We're going to ask that question as we go through that. You're going to ask the question. As I review what is in chapters 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians, now obviously I can't cover everything. I got some big points in there and we'll go through that. You're going to ask the Lord, you're going to ask your heart, hey, am I welcoming this truth into my life? You're the one that's going to know that or not. But it's good to be reminded, it's good to be encouraged, to be exhorted that we need to welcome God's Word into our life, that we would live it and do it, that it would be part of how we think and see and act. So today we're going to do that. So we're going to start in James 1. Turn your Bibles there to James 1, 19 through 25. Listen to the Word of God for this morning. Here's what James writes, 19, verse 19 and following says this. He says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is or was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Well, you see the whole context, what he's talking about here. He's talking about us living the Word of God, applying the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, acting upon the Word of God. That's what he's talking about in here. Paul, or James here, is addressing your willingness to receive, to apply, to do, to welcome God's Word in your life. That's what all that's about. That's what he's talking about. And look at verse 19. Let's start with this. He says this, this you know, my beloved brethren. This you know. What do you guys know? What is he talking about? You have to go to verse 18. Look what he says in 18. This you know. We all know. Christians know. Believers know. People that follow Christ. This is what we know. We know this. In verse 18, in the exercise of his will, God's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creations. This we know. You know, I know that God exercised his will. That in the will of God, exercising what God desires, God's will, by his truth, by his word, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about you and the truth of you and your sin, when you welcome that into your life, the truth of Christ, when you received it, when you believed it, God brought us forth, he saved us, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You know that. You know that it was a work of God. You know that God saved you. You know that God, by the word of truth, the gospel preached by God's word. God transformed your life, opened up your heart to the truth of Christ, brought you into the kingdom of God. You know the transforming power of God through his word. Amen? That's what he's saying. You know it. It was God and his truth and his word that rescued you, delivered you, saved you, and was God's will that through the work of Christ, preached, taught, known, understood, believed, welcomed, God would rescue a sinner. Hey, you know the power of receiving God's word, do you not? The transforming power. Look what he says next. He says this, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of the righteous man does not achieve the righteousness of God. In context of what he's talking about, the word of God, everyone must be quick to hear. We all need to be listening. We all need to shut our mouth and to quit talking and quit letting our bitterness, our anger in our heart rise up against God's truth and say, well, I don't like what God has to say, and let me tell you about it. We need to humble ourselves and listen to what God has to say and say, Lord, let me hear what you have. We'll cover a little bit more next week on that. In verse 21, he says this, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, there's another action we'll cover next week. I want to focus on this, what he says next. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. What is that? In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. What's God saying? He says, receive the word. What does that say? It means respond to the truth revealed in God's word. This is what this word receive means in the original language. It means give ear to it, to embrace it, to take hold of it, to make it your own, meaning allowing it to direct and control your living. What he's saying is welcome God's word into your life. Welcoming it into your home, into your life, into your things. Sit down, have a meal, sit down, be part of my life, guide my life, lead my life. He's saying welcome it into your life. God's word is saying that's what we're to do. We're to welcome it into our life, to take hold of it. Jesus said in Luke 18:17, he said this, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive, same word, the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. We have God our Father. The Father speaks through the word, and he wants to speak to each one of our lives, and we need to, as a heart of a child, we need to receive what God has to say to us. What dad in this room would not want to give instruction to their children for their very, very best? What dad in this room would not want to share with their child the very, very best on to protect them and guide them and lead them to live for purpose, to have the best that God has for them? What dad would not want to instruct you in the things of this life for you to have the success that God wants you to have? Well, God our Father wants us to come to him like children and say, you know, I have to receive what the Lord wants to give to me. I have to welcome it. I have to trust him. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He said this, we constantly thank God because when you received the word of God, you heard from us. This is in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I think. He said, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is. It's the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Do you know that the Bible is really what God wants to say to you? It's the word of the Creator, of the authority of the universe, of the one that created you and me and everything that we exist in. And he wanted to talk to us. He wanted to communicate to us. And it's the word of God, and it's from our Father. And when you welcome God's word, when you take hold of God's word and make it your own, allowing it to direct your life, God performs his work in you. Transformation, sanctification, change. And that's what Paul's referring to. It's welcoming God's word. So with that on our heart, turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians. This is God's way, God's purpose. This God is wanting us to be encouraged and to come alongside each one of us and to be exhorted, and some of us to be admonished about how we need to apply what God is speaking to us in our lives. And so with this heart in mind, we're looking at 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapters 1 through 4. Like I said, I won't pick out everything, but we're going to ask ourselves the questions as we go through chapters 1 through 4. Are we welcoming God's holy word? Am I taking hold of it, allowing God's word to direct my living? As what we've learned through 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through 10. It's in your outline there. It's pretty simple. I kept the big points in there, but that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to just bounce in through this. So first of all, number one, welcoming God's word of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First point is this: you are saints by calling. That's the first point in your outline. It's in verse 2. Listen to what God's word says. It says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling. Well, you know, I've called you guys saints for years and years and years. I've taught on it about four or five times what a saint is. So, and again, you need to receive the word of God, what you are, your identity in Christ. You're a saint. You are set apart, consecrated unto God. All of you, every single part of you, all of your life, your home, your marriage, your relationships, your job, your money, your stuff, all of that. God, when he saved you, he said, you and your existence, I've set apart you, consecrated you unto the Lord. You are a holy utensil to be used in the worship of God. We need to receive God's word on what he calls us. That's who we are. That's our identity in the word of God. This is him speaking to us on who we are. That's what he's created us in our new life to be. That's what we are. Secondly, in your outline, we are this: you are enriched in everything in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5 through 7. Paul is just writing to this church, identifying like he would identify us. That in everything you are enriched in him, that's Christ Jesus, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible statement. Amen? What an incredible thing for God to just say. In everything in Christ, you have all provision in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by God's divine power, he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Your salvation, God gave it to you in your salvation. You aren't lacking any gift. I'm not lacking any gift. We've been given all the provision of God to live a life of godliness, a life of holiness, to live this life unto what God has created us to be and what he desires us to be. Yes, it's a battle. Yes, it's a struggle. But God has given us the faith that endures. God has given us the faith that perseveres. God has given us the life in Christ. He's given us everything that we need. We have all speech, all knowledge. You can share Christ. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know God. You see, what God is talking about as he began in 1 Corinthians is identifying what God has already done in our life. We are gifted. Each one of us had the gifts of God that he desired to give to us, to serve him and his body of Christ, his church. There's no question of it. The question is whether we use it, right? That would be the one. Amen on that one. We are to employ it, serving one another, being good managers of God's manifold grace. We're enriched in Christ to grow, to serve Christ and his church. Next, look what he says in their outline. You are called into fellowship with Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship, relationship, communion, a sharing in the common life of God. Your earthly existence, my earthly existence, is in Christ. Thank you, Lord. That's the word of God. That's the Bible. I'm in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, was 10 minutes ago, will be in my entire life. It's a shared life, a common life. That's the word of God. Do we welcome that into our life? That's what we're looking at. That's the teachings that we've been going through, talking about welcoming these things into our life. Galatians 2:20 says it best. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in my humanity, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I welcome that into my life. Do you welcome that into your life? It's the word of God. It's the truth of God on who we are and that kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying you don't, and I'm not trying to say, oh, you don't, and I do. No. This is as we go along and learn the word of God and are taught what God has to say and taught what God is speaking of. There's incredible blessings in being in the fellowship with the Lord. Now, as we go on, next, we're exhorted to come together in truth. This is the body of Christ. Look at verse 10. He says this, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no division among you and that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment." Remember what he was talking about there. We got to come together in the truth of God's word. Healthy doctrine, unity of the truth of God, to come together in believing and trusting in God's word. He's talking about we are speaking, teaching the same things about God's purpose, about God's plan, about God's gospel, about our Christian living. We come together and then do that. Listen to Philippians 1:27. Remember when we talked about that? Same kind of idea. It says this in Philippians 1:27. "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel." We're supposed to live in a manner worthy that represents the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, giving his life, rescuing us, delivering us from sin, paying the penalty of our sin, reconciling us back to God. We want to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of that, in a manner worthy of heaven that awaits us. "Be standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's the word of God about the church, about your life, my life, body of Christ. We're tied together in this. Philippians 2:2 says it this way, "Be the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness. Romans 15:6 says, "We are to be one accord, so we with one voice glorify God." Guess what? There's no individualism. Oh, darn. This isn't an individual sport. This isn't golf and they keep my score. Okay? This is baseball and we play together. Okay? And when you make an error, it's part of our team. And when you get a base hit, it's part of our team. Now, that's an analogy of baseball. God isn't like that. Oh, good, base hit. Way to go, Sam. You got a base hit today in the game of God. But the idea is here, we are family. This is together. There's no individual sport here. God called the church to himself, the body of Christ, and it's his church, his purpose, all of us. Yes, individually we walk with the Lord. Individually I'm a husband. Individually I'm a papa and those things. But God's word is saying we got to come together. Unity is what he's talking about. You know what? All the way through the end of chapter 4 is about unity. That's what it's about. About us being in unity. Four chapters in 1 Corinthians. Four chapters of God's word just here in 1 Corinthians is about how we are in unity. That's what he's talking about. Now, moving along, look what he says next. Look what he says next. The priority of proclaiming the gospel. Look at verse 17. "Here is the word of God to us. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so the cross would not be made void." Listen, our lives, word and deed, proclaim something. You proclaim something by the words out of your mouth and by the way you live your life. We want to proclaim it together. The priority is Christ Jesus, the gospel, by the way we live. That's the priority. Paul is admonishing them. They're on human wisdom. They're on their, we got our own philosophy about life and what we're going to live for. And Paul's like, we don't want to make the cross null and void. Give me an amen on that one, okay? The way you live your life, the way I live our life, I don't want to make the cross null and void to the people that need to see the cross. And Paul is saying, we're going to live this life in the way God wants us to live this life. He's called us to the word of God. Brian, isn't that what you said today? The way you were living? Well, you know, we're praying for you and want to come alongside you, and I want to live the same way you want to live in that. Because guess what? We're going to do that together. Because God calls us as a family of God to do that together. To encourage each other in that. This is the word of God we've been going through, learning and going and listening to. We're to be welcoming his word. Next in our little outline there would be welcoming of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We testify only to God's truth. Look at verse 1 and 2 and what he's saying in chapter 1 and 2. Or chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says this, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech." I could slow down a little bit. That'd probably be good. "Or wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." What are you saying there? Is we testify only to God's truth. We give testimony only to God's truth. Listen, God's revelation of himself and us is in his word. In everything. And it's God's wisdom. Man's wisdom has no, plays no part in our testimony, really. It's God's wisdom. We give testimony, we witness to it. You know, we don't give human verbiage, opinions, human ways of reasoning, flattery speech, trickery of speech. We don't witness to that. Now, we sometimes struggle, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, we only testify to the truth of God's word. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says it this way: we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The only thing that does that is the manifestation of the truth. The only thing that does that is if we live the truth of God's word. If we live the truth of God's word, is the only thing that commends to anybody's mind from our lives the truth of God. We've renounced the other things that are hidden because of shame. We don't walk in craftiness. Listen, I'm not preaching the word of God in some craftiness way, some manipulative way, some way that makes you want to come, some way that makes you feel good, some way that wants you to draw someone in, because that would be adulterating the word of God. And we all recognized and said, this is what we know, that when you receive, that when you welcome the truth of God's word, it has the power to change somebody's life from dead to alive. It has the power in my life to change me from self-focused to God-focused. It has the power in my life for me to love somebody that I don't care for. So why would I want to preach anything that doesn't do that, that makes us feel good about our sin or ourself or our comfort? That's why it's the word of God. And sometimes the word of God is confrontive. I understand that. But I recognize in my own life, I need confronted a lot. And that's what we're learning. Next, we're relying on the Holy Spirit to teach us into that truth, to guide us into the mind of Christ. Look at 9 and 10. Look what he says in chapter 2. He says this: but just as it is written, there are things eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Well, I never heard him until he came to Christ. I never saw him until he came to Christ, which has not entered the heart of man. It will never enter the heart of the fallen unless God opens up a heart and enters it in, and that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit of God, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Listen, we're relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us into all the truths of God. We're relying on him to show me where I'm thinking about it in my heart as my word, or what I want it to say, or what I want it to be, or what the whole Lord, you guide me in what you're teaching and what you want me to see, because what you want me to see, no man has ever seen and can see apart from God. Did you get that? No man can ever see or will see apart from God. So you ask the Lord, show me only what you can show me on your truth, on how it applies to my life. Talk about faith that perseveres. For somebody in Iraq to stand for the Lord and ask the Lord, you show me, Lord, on how standing for you is what you've asked me to do today. The grace of God is beyond a measure. He'll show you. How did Stephen take the stones when he was standing there telling him about the love of Christ and they begin to stone him? What did God do? God gave him a vision and he looked up into heaven. He saw Jesus standing, applauding, waiting for Stephen to come to the kingdom of God. Well, God is like that in our life. Through his word, through his truth, showing us that yes, the circumstances of this life may be difficult, but what God is doing in this world is greater than our circumstance. Look at verse 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which the things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The Holy Spirit is guiding and leading us, verse 16, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would want to live the things of Christ, that we would think like Christ in everything. Because right here is what Christ thinks on everything. It's right here. And I want to learn this word. I want to grow in this word. I want to understand how it applies in my life. And the Holy Spirit is going to show me, guide me, you and me both, that we would speak not human wisdom, But what we would speak and share and teach with you and would be taught by the Spirit of God, combining God's thoughts, God's spiritual thoughts with God's spiritual words, that we would speak the Word of God and have the mind of Christ. What we speak is truth, or what we speak or teach is only to be the word of truth, God's word, what he has said. We give a witness to that, that we're about God's truth. There's only one place it's found in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the truth teacher. He's the author of Scripture. He's the illuminator of Scripture. That means he shows us what it says, what it means, how it applies in our life. And you want to get into the word implanted, he dwells in me. We're to be welcoming God's word of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to go through all four of them, and I'm kind of sorry that it kind of gets in zip service here and it goes kind of fast, because these all flow together. So we'll be welcoming the word of chapter 3. Look what he says. It's in your outline. A cause of division is our flesh. Listen to what Paul writes. He says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it." Now, you know he's talking about the Word of God, right? He said, "I had to give you really, really light bites of God's Word, because I recognized in your heart that something really big, something depth, something of God's Word, I had to give you morsels of God's Word, absolutely okay, absolutely fine. All of us at times need that into our life, because of where we're at, we need to get some understanding." But listen to what he said. Indeed, even now you are not able to receive it, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? You know what a cause for division is? Your selfishness, is my selfishness. It's a cause for division in my marriage, in my relationships, in my family, in my church. It keeps me from growing. It keeps me immature. It keeps me from applying the things that God wants in my life. When I get self-focused, when I focus on myself, it causes strife and jealousy and division among all of the relationships I have, and even with my relationship with God and my relationship with his word. It's a cause for division. And that's what Paul was teaching. It keeps me immature. It keeps me from growing when I'm self-focused. What's a cure for division? Look at verse 6 through 9. I planted, Apollos water, but God was causing the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. We are God's building. A cure for division is all I've been asked to do is water and plant. It isn't about me. I cannot cause anything to grow. I have to accept and recognize that God has given me his word, his truth, and I want to plant and water with it. And if anything grows, God causes it. I think too highly of myself. And then did you see what it says? Neither the one who plants nor the water one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth. Now he who plants and waters are one. I plant water with you. I plant water with my family. I plant water with the body of Christ. I plant water and God causes the growth, and we're in this together. Nobody's big, nobody's better. Just family striving together, acknowledging God is causing the growth. It's a cure. The cure is to have a proper view of ourselves. Look at 18 through 20 in chapter 3. Have this view of yourself, that no one deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, and they are useless. So then let no one boast in men. Listen, in your life, and you're working out this thing that you got going on in your life, and these things that you have happening in your life, these things that you're working out to work them out in your human wisdom, knowing that the word of God says, this is the way, this is the path, that's the truth. God says, let it go, man, it's a waste of time. God catches everyone in their craftiness. He wants to help you, guide you. You're his child. He wants to speak to you through his word. The most important things that we would need to know and understand about life and about godliness and about living for him and purpose. And we have things that we are holding up our wisdom to God's. You got to look at yourself. A cure for dividedness between you and God, between you and others, between whatever, is have a proper view of you and then a proper view of God and his word. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. Look at it with me. The proper view of God and his word. Here's the proper view. This is a great passage, good one to memorize just to let God dwell in your heart. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The word of the cross is God's message to people. It's written right here. And to me, it's the power of God that took me from darkness to light, that made me alive in Christ, that can lead and guide me today for me to embrace those things that God has for me and be a living testimony, to be pleasing God, to walk by faith, to self-confrontation, to deal with my own heart, with the things in my life, because I've recognized and I know and I accept and I want to trust that it's the power of God. To those that are perishing, it's a bunch of foolishness. We're to welcome what God says to our life. Chapter 4, finishing this up. Chapter 4, welcoming the word or God's word of chapter 4. We are servants of Christ. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. We are just managers of God's goodness. Think about that for a moment. Each one of us in here, for your entire life, once you came to Christ, you are managing the goodness of God, the grace of God that's been given you. We're just servants of Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance and affliction and hardship and distresses, whatever life is, banding ourselves together as servants of the King. And look at verse 7 in 1 Corinthians. For God has given everything that we have. For who regards you as superior? None of us are superior. What do we have that we did not receive? If we did not receive it, why do we boast as we did not receive it? What do we have that God did not give? James 1:17, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where does he speak his word? It's implanted into our life. Romans 12:6, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given. It's a grace gift. John 1:16, for the fullness of the Lord. The fullness of the Lord, listen to this. Of his fullness we have all received, you and me, grace upon grace. God's unmerited favor poured upon unmerited favor, like a great big sundae where you can't get enough of the hot fudge on top of it. Regardless of what life looks like. And we are servants of the Lord, receiving all of that. Point C in your outline, pride is our enemy. I should get a brig. You know what? You're right. Verses 8 through 21 and the next that Paul just addresses in their life. And pride's our enemy, you guys. It was the enemy of Corinthians. It was the enemy of their life and was really distracting them. I told you the main theme or the main thing issue going on in all of 1 and 2 Corinthians is their pride. That's what's going on. And it is. It's our life. Pride is our enemy. It hindered their receiving God's word. It hindered, stunted their growth in the word of God. It caused division, and they were arrogant. But look at verse 14 of chapter 4. It's our last point in welcoming God's word. It's receive correction. Look what Paul wrote. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved brethren. Listen, you guys, I don't preach God's word to shame anybody. When God doesn't write to you, doesn't speak to your life to shame you. It's not about us being shamed. Like, oh, man, you know, somebody saw what I was doing. God saw it every day. And if I see it, I don't want to shame you. It's not about shame. It's about correction. Lord, I need corrected. How hard is that? Sometimes so hard because of what I think of me. Lord, I need corrected. I need admonished. Admonish correction. God does not write these things to shame us, but to admonish us as His beloved children. Hear what He has to say. Admonish, to come alongside in love, in care, and walk you to the right way. Sometimes you have to warn. Sometimes you have to get a little forceful. Sometimes you have to say, stop. But love edifies. And that's what God is. He builds up. Love needs to admonish, to come alongside, stir, correct, guide, warn to the right direction. That's God's word. Now turn back to James 1:21. We'll close with this. Remember what we read, that little thing, in humility, receive the word of God implanted. It's able to save your souls. What I talked about today was the first in humility. To welcome the word of God, you've got to be humble. You got to walk in meekness. You got to say, Lord, I need you every single day of the life. You know what? I'm struggling, Lord. You know what, Lord? I need you to guide me. And when you do, Lord, when you do guide me, and when you have worked in my marriage and my marriage honors you and you've worked out some things in humility, I need to say, wow, God works. And when you've worked in my family and when you've shown me how to be a parent and you've guided my, and my kids are acknowledging the things of God and they're learning those things in humility, I got to say, God is at work. Nothing comes from us. We water, we plant, the growth is Him. And when God works in the church and works in those kind of things, we're just servants of Christ. And that's in humility. You got to receive what God has to say in His word. It can't be about lifting any of us up. In humility and meekness, you come to God and His word, acknowledging your need for His truth in every way, embracing it. And listen to what He says. It's able to save your soul. Well, I'm saved. Is your soul saved? Salvation looks three ways at this. Three different tenses in the verb. I was saved. I was saved. May 30th at 11 p.m. in my parents' backyard. 1995, I was saved. God saved me, reconciled me back to Himself, saved me. I was saved. I will be saved when Christ comes back or when I pass away and that kind of thing, I will be saved. I'll be saved from everything in this life and put into perfection and all that. Today in my life, I am being saved. My soul, my life needs saved from the sin that wants to destroy it today. And if I don't abide in God's word, if I don't look to God to guide me in His word, if I think I can do it without God's word, if I can think I can walk this way without God guiding and leading me and the Holy Spirit showing me what it is, that in humility that I have some other way, sin will destroy the way I live today. That's the word of God. And we need God to save our soul today. We need Him to work in our life. So it's abiding in His word. It's learning His word. This is the relationship that we have. It's not all these principles or orders we fight. It's our faith is in the object of Jesus Christ. God is our Father. And He still, each and every day, wants to rescue and deliver us from those things that want to harm us. Ultimately, I'm saved, yes. Ultimately, you can't take heaven away from me. But today, how I live today is welcoming God's word. Let's close the service in prayer. Let's stand with me, please. Father, we're amazed by your word and by the richness of James here in verse 19 through 25. Just the encouragement it is that how you want us to just welcome in just this simple manner what our Heavenly Father wants to speak to His children. Father, I know just in my own life as I've went through these message and these kind of things that I've rejected or things that I haven't really applied or or just kind of let go of, or really haven't just had my focus on you. And I know you've brought them to my heart, and you've had me with conviction say, you know, Father, forgive me for that and help me in this, or Lord, guide me in that. That happens all the time in our life. I wish it happened less in mine at times. I'm sure some of us do. But Lord, that's our journey with you in our walk. We walk with you in each and every day, and I would just pray for, as a church, as a family of God, our testimony, what we testify to, is that God loves us and guides us and leads us by his word. And we're working hard on being obedient to welcoming his truth to in our life, and here to help each other in that journey. For it honors you and glorifies you and demonstrates the transformation that has taken place by Jesus Christ. We go forth this day glorifying you, thanking you, Lord, for every opportunity, every gift, the life you have given. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.